Okay, a very good evening to everybody. Welcome to this evening's service. We're obviously really looking forward to Pete speaking to us this evening. Pete was just saying to us out there how much he's looking forward to speaking. That was what you were saying, wasn't it? It was something along those lines. It was great this morning, wasn't it, to have just a brilliant talk about the Lord's Prayer, and I'm sure all of us found that exceptionally challenging and just a really helpful look at something which is so familiar. I guess all of us have maybe been mulling over some of the things that were said during this morning's talk. Tonight is again another of the sessions on prayer, and I thought it would be good for us actually to start with some prayer this evening. And first of all, I'd like us to pray for Bobby Brown, and I'm going to ask Anona actually if you'd be happy to come and pray for Bobby. Would that be all right? And then we're going to pray for Sophia, and I'm going to ask Matt if you'd like to come and pray for Sophia in a moment. And then I think it would be really good for us to pray for Matt Hebditch. Obviously, we're considering him as our next pastor. And I wonder, John, would you be happy to pray about that in a moment or two? So, Anona, do you want to come up and lead us in prayer for Bobby? Seems a good place to start, doesn't it, to practice what we're preaching about, Pete? So, thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father, we do thank you for Bobby. We thank you for the lady she is. We thank you for the blessings she brings to our church. And we bring her before you now, Lord. We bring her before you with her needs and needs for your touch and needs for your closeness and needs, Lord, for your healing hands, your comfort in the knowledge that she has of your power of healing, in the knowledge that she knows of your love. Lord, I pray that you surround her with that love. She has a constant awareness of that love for who she is in Jesus. And during this time of healing, either by medication or by your amazing touch, Lord, I pray this will happen with speed, with power. And Lord, I pray for her family. A family by birth, a family here at Welton, that they will continue to come alongside and show more of your love, more of your care for the Lady of God that she is, for the Lady of God, how she serves you here at Welton, because you love her so, and because we do too. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Anona. And Matt, if you're happy to come and pray for Sophia, that would be great. Thank you.
I only have the latest prayer chain update, so I'm hoping that nothing's changed since then, so it's all fairly good, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the gift of life. And as we've been praying for Sophia over the last weeks, Lord, we just see how fragile this life is. And yeah, it's just remarkable that you hold her in your hand. And Lord, we thank you that we've seen answer to prayer. We've seen you working through the surgeons and working miraculously in the life of this tiny baby. Lord, we just pray now that having had this operation, Lord, it was amazing to hear the doctors. It says that the text says they were beaming, smiling, Lord, seeing how well it has gone. We thank you for that, and we pray just now that you continue your healing in that tiny little life. We pray for the whole family, that they'd know your peace with them, and that we'd just continue to see restoration and keep moving it forward. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John.
Excuse me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the church we are part of. We thank you for the way you've guided us and blessed us as a church over the years. And we pray for this journey now, this time of that has seemed uncertain, and yet we realize now that Matt and Liz are here among us, and that's a real possibility of him becoming pastor. From a human point of view, we could put all that together and say Matt's the right one. But we pray, as we thought this morning about the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. And so we pray for wisdom and clarity as we, as the elders interview Matt, as we meet Matt as a church, that you would just make it very clear if this is your choice. We think of Matt at the moment in Iraq, and thank you for the work he's doing there. We were so touched to see that photo a few weeks ago of the house church in Iraq, and such a joy to think of your church in a country where we would say is dark, but we know that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we pray for Matt. We could pray for protection. We could pray that you would watch over him. But so often in the Bible, the early disciples particularly prayed for boldness. So we would pray for boldness for Matt as he ministers to churches in Iraq. We bring these, our prayers, to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Anona and Matt and John. It's great, isn't it, to have people within our fellowship who can lead us in prayer and actually sometimes put into words the things that we struggle with a little bit. I'm not really very good at praying, so it's good to get other people to sometimes speak it out for me. And thank you so much for doing that. So that's really good. Just as at the start of the service, I wanted just to share with you a couple of birthday cards that I got yesterday, if that's all right. If Paul, you want to put the first one up. These were received from church members, I have to say. Give you a chance to read that. Good. There is some humour amongst that. But thinking in the context of prayer, we're blessed, aren't we, because we know God. We know the place to take our burdens, to take our problems, to take our joys, to take our sorrows, to take the things that are on our hearts this evening. We've done so already, haven't we, with three specific things. But there's a world of people that don't know God. They don't know this omnipresent God. And in a way, the card says it all, doesn't it? Actually, you know, people really need to engage with God, and yet maybe they don't know where to find him. So maybe God does need a website, I don't know. But, you know, one way or another, people need to be able to engage with God. And that really sums up our mission, doesn't it, as church. Our mission as church is to show God, to show Christ to the people that we meet day to day, our community in which we live, our friends and our family who don't know him. Because we know the joy of being able to unburden ourselves to our Father in heaven. as we've already started to do this evening in the prayers that we've prayed. Because sometimes, as was said this morning, you know, we don't know where to go with the problems that we face, with the issues that come up on our TV screens, with the things that happen in our own lives. The world needs to know that too, because many people are struggling with those things and they don't know where to go. Paul, could we just have the second one? I'm slightly nervous about this one. Again, please remember this did come from a church member. Okay. The words say, as he finished off the last sheet of toilet paper, there seemed only one alternative. And I don't know whether in this corner you can see the cat. Probably slightly inappropriate, but do you know what? Sometimes, as a word in one of Alison's pantomimes says, sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures, don't they? And in a way, sometimes prayer's a bit like that, you know. Prayer is actually our last resort as opposed to our first resort. And part of the reason I wanted us to pray right at the start was because, and to use a Dave Kingswood-ism, you know, prayer needs to be front and centre of what we do within church. And I'm sure that Pete will probably refer to this a little bit later on. So prayer doesn't need to be the last resort. And yet for us who are Christians, isn't that quite often the case, that we try and sort out a lot of things ourselves and then finally we get around to thinking, actually, probably we should pray about this instead of it being the first thing that we come to. Sally received a text the other day. Our eldest son is called Tom. And it's quite interesting. Tom doesn't go to church, and he has, I suppose, an interesting take on faith and his own sort of position. But he texted this, and I'm not going to use the real names, but he said this in a text. He said, few prayer requests, Mother. Main one is for Michael, who specifically asked me to ask you. Him and Hattie have been really struggling recently. That's not their real names. She suffers from anxiety and hasn't been able to find a suitable job. They're completely cash-strapped and at the moment, but she has a very successful interview today, so fingers crossed. Then just a little one for me, as hate being ill and down in the dumps. I was really fascinated to read that text and the sort of mixed metaphors about praying and crossing fingers and all those sorts of things. But it struck me that, again, thinking back to the first point I was making, people don't know where to go, do they? And yet they somehow recognise, people that are not Christians, they somehow recognise that there are people that know God and they know somebody who knows somebody who can talk about it. And isn't that great? And I suppose in our daily lives, it's good, isn't it, to know somebody who knows something about something. You know, somebody to fix your car or to, I don't know, clean your windows or something like that. And in an almighty sense, people actually do know that we know, if you like, the man upstairs. That's probably how they'd like to describe him. But they want to ask us to pray. So I was really encouraged by that. And we will just pray in a moment for the two people mentioned that Tom asked us to pray for. And in Ephesians, Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, says this: for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's a great prayer, isn't it? That is a great prayer. Prayer for the Ephesian church, but it's a prayer that I hope we can feel is prayed for us too. But also, isn't it a prayer that we perhaps ought daily to be praying for people that don't know the God that we know? That they would get to know that love of Christ, which is beyond measure. So at the start, or nearly the start of the service, let's pray, and then Chris and Terry are going to lead us in some songs of worship before Pete speaks to us. So let's pray. Father God, it's wonderful to come to worship you this evening. It's wonderful to be able to pray, to communicate, to be able to speak our thoughts to you and to listen out for your voice speaking to us. We pray, Lord, for the couple that were mentioned by our son Tom, and we pray for them in their situation. We thank you, Lord, that somehow they recognise that maybe prayer could do something in their situation. We pray too, Lord, for those people who we meet every day who don't know you. And we pray that through our lives, through our words, our actions, our attitudes, that we might show something of Jesus to them. That we might help them to see that there is a God in heaven who cares and loves them deeply. A God to whom we can pray. A God who will answer our prayers. And this evening we want to give you thanks that we can meet here together. We want to pray for Pete that you would bless him as he speaks later on. We pray for Chris and for Terry as they lead us in our worship now. And we ask that you would indeed visit us tonight and that we would know your presence with us in a very real way. So we give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, the title for this is A Church That Prays Effectively. And just to give you an idea of the things I'm going to be covering, I'll give you some of the headings and you can be ticking them off as we go through. I'll explain the title of that and put it into context and say something about the reasons I value prayer personally with some examples. And then we'll look at developing a prayer life, how we deepen our relationship with God. The battleground of prayer is another topic we'll look at, because the evil one wants to make us ineffective. And we'll have a look at helpful approaches to prayer and how we like to pray, and that'll be a little bit of group work if you've got time. So you can be thinking about approaches that you found helpful. And what about when prayer is difficult? And what about unanswered prayer? So those are the sort of topics that we're going to cover. So a church that prays effectively. Surely this is a desire and objective that all of us would want. But what do we mean by praying effectively? For something to be effective, it must work and have an impact. And we sometimes feel that if we don't see an answer to prayer, that we have failed. However, effective prayer is far more than chasing results in that way. In answer to the question, what is the key to effective prayer, the gotquestions.org website starts by saying this: we all want our prayers to be effective, so much so that when we focus on the results of our prayers, we lose sight of the incredible privilege we have in prayer. That people like us can speak to the Creator of the universe is itself an amazing thing. Even more astounding is the fact that He hears us and acts on our behalf. The first thing we need to understand about effective prayer is that Jesus Christ had to suffer and die on the cross to even make it possible for us to approach God to worship and pray. And they give a reference to Hebrews 10:19-25, where it talks about the sacrifice that Christ made for us. We will see that effective prayer starts with relationship, and being grateful for what Christ has done for us is a good starting point and a truth never to forget. We'll come back to more about praying effectively later, but what do we mean by a church praying? For tonight, we're not focusing on corporate prayer. John Barnard is covering that on the 16th of October in the evening under the title, Let's Get It Together. It's worth saying, though, that the quality and effectiveness of our corporate prayer is in the church is closely linked with the quality and effectiveness of our own prayer lives. And this evening, we're going to be focusing on the church as us individuals and how we can learn to deepen our prayer lives. As Fee said in the opening session of this series, some of this deepening of our intimacy with God in prayer will be private and unseen by others, but some will have an impact on the church and should be clear to others. And I spent some time thinking about what the characteristics are of a church that prays effectively and the people that pray effectively. And if we have a first slide, here are some of the things that that came to mind. If prayer, as I'm suggesting, is about relationship with God, we need to have a close relationship with Him. And if we think of that in terms of human relationships, if we spend time with someone and get to know them, then there's all sorts of benefits from that. But it should be evident, if our prayer is effective, that we've been with Jesus. How long do we spend with Him, to choose to spend with Him? Some people on telephone calls spend an hour and a half speaking to someone. I'm more the sort of 2 minutes person. the other end, is that a measure of how much I care about the people I talk to on the phone? I'm not sure. But we need to spend time with Jesus if we're wanting to get to know Him well. We love and honour Him. Prayer is about worship as well. It's not about just coming with lists and asking God for things. It's about praising Him for who He is and glorifying Him. We hear from Him. It's not just about, it's not one-sided conversation. It's about listening to Him too. And in prayer, God may guide us or instruct us, and we must obey what the Lord is showing us through that. We would expect, as we develop our prayer lives and as we spend time with Jesus, as we absorb some of His characteristics through the work of His Spirit in our lives, that impacts upon how we see other people. And prayer enables us to have a right attitude towards others, both in the church and in the world. And through prayer, we're used by Him. We can pray for others, and we can see change. We can see answers to our prayers. And Jesus used His disciples to go out and to minister to people. And also, He works through us. God's power can be exercised through our prayers for healing or for discernment or words of knowledge or other things like that. A lot of this is happening in our lives and in the church, and that's great, and we want to celebrate that. And there may be particular aspects in that list that you feel are strengths in your particular circumstances, but we want more. If we want to be a church that prays effectively, then we want to be the people that can demonstrate some of those characteristics to others. Okay, the reasons I value prayer, and I believe in the power of prayer. A recent testimony yesterday. First of all, though, it's obviously the evening for cards. This is a card, if you just bring a picture up. This is a card Jill was given. She finished with the Alzheimer's Society recently and got this card. For those of you that can't see it, it's a retirement class in a classroom, and the tutor in front of a group of older retirees is saying, and we can see from the example on the board how each day can be divided into different activities. And you've got things like gardening and walking, sleeping, cooking and reading, but almost half of the pie chart on the thing says searching for things you only put down a minute ago. And on Friday, Jill realised that she had mislaid some important papers, including a passport, and we spent a lot of time searching everywhere, and it wasn't anywhere. We looked in her car, and it wasn't anywhere to be found. But we prayed about it yesterday morning, and you have to sometimes recognise promptings in your mind, and I was in the kitchen, and I thought I heard something slip down the back of a cupboard. And so I spent a little bit of time taking the kickboard off because I thought, well, perhaps she put it in the drawer in there and it had fallen down. And no, it wasn't there. But shortly after that, I was getting in my car and I thought, I'll just look in the pockets behind the seats. And I did that, and it wasn't there, and we weren't anticipating it being my car. But it made me think, I just felt a prompting, check in Jill's car, and there's one pocket behind one of the seats. It's not very obvious because it just looks like the upholstery. And in the pocket was a plastic wallet with passport, national insurance card, car registration and all of that. And we're talking about, you know, about an hour from when we prayed, and I wasn't searching for all of that time, but it's just a silly little example, perhaps. Go back to 40 years, and I'm a student at Bath University, and I'm asleep. It's night time, and I'm woken by a friend who thinks I can help because I was the president of the Christian Union at the time, and somebody that we knew was in a bad state spiritually. So I got dressed and went across the city to where this person was in a flat, and there were some other Christians there praying for him. He was worse for wear from drink, but something more was happening. When he talked, it was in a very low, gruff voice, very unlike his own voice, and I had a real sense of evil in the room. I prayed as best I could for him, but I was inexperienced. So I called two church ministers, this is in the middle of the night now, two church ministers I knew in Bath to ask them to help, and both of them declined, probably mainly because it was the middle of the night, but secondly because they didn't see him as within their sort of realm of responsibility. It was a very scary experience. At one stage, the evil presence was trying to strangle the guy with his own hands, and it took all of my strength, literally, to pull his hands away from his neck. From his throat. We prayed against the evil in the name of Jesus, and eventually he calmed down. Now, whatever you think about the details of this, I have no doubt that I was battling with evil forces and that God answered my prayers, however weak they may have been. Two examples here of answered prayer, one yesterday and perhaps quite trivial, one many years ago and more dramatic. But both examples of answered prayer that, along with many others, convince me that prayer is essential in our lives as Christians, and that we have a God who is interested in every aspect of life. And we've been thanking God earlier in the service for Bobby and Sophia and for Matt Hebditch. We see answers to prayer regularly, and we've got a great God. I want my conversation with God to deepen more and more through effective prayer. And it's not just about asking for things, as I said, but building that close relationship. Fee, when he spoke, related that story of the lumberjack who had so many trees to cut down. He said he didn't have time to sharpen his axe. I don't want to be somebody blundering on with a blunt axe in my prayer life, but I want to sharpen it and make it effective. So how can we develop this prayer life? How can we deepen our relationship with God? Much of it is unseen. Some of it is expressed corporately when we meet together. Some of it is done publicly. It has a lot to do with our conversation and our intimacy with God, as Fee said in his session. And we have the example of Jesus to follow, who took many opportunities to commune with his Heavenly Father, both in private and publicly. We will look at approaches to prayer, as I said, but effective prayer has more to do with the one doing the praying than it does with how we are to pray. And so let's see what Scripture has to say about it. And as we look at some of these points that will come up on the screen, they also give indicators of why sometimes our prayers are not answered as we expect. So it contributes to that issue about unanswered prayer. This isn't an exhaustive list, but it's just an example of some of the things with some of the verses. We won't look at all of them, but some of the verses that give an indication of what's important to God when we pray. Righteousness, it says in James, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And in Peter 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears attentive to their prayer. God can answer the prayers of the unrighteous, as he did when each of us became a Christian. But if we are living lives dishonouring to him, then this will create a real barrier to our prayers being effective. Asking for the right things, this means asking for the things that God wants and wants to do, as indicated in the in Scriptures. In the John passage, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Sometimes we don't really know what to pray, and the relying on the Spirit verse there says the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Paul reminds us that as God's children, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. The Thessalonians passage encourages us to pray continually, and in Luke 18 verse 1 we are told to pray with persistence and not to give up. These are all characteristics or keys to effective prayer that we should bear in mind and not forget, because if we start getting some of these wrong, then that's going to impact upon how effectively we pray. We've got to pray with faith. Obviously, someone who doesn't believe is like a tossing wave, going backwards and forwards, it says in James. With forgiveness, Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Helen mentioned something about that when she was going through the Lord's Prayer this morning, about the importance of us forgiving on earth in order that God can forgive in heaven. John 14:13-14 gives us reassurance that Christ will do things asked in his name. And in Isaiah 59:2, it talks about their people's iniquities have separated them from God, and their sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. If we're harbouring sin that God has wanted to deal with in our lives, then that is bound to tarnish the relationship and the closeness that we have with God and have an impact upon the effectiveness of our prayer. And we need to pray with no wrong motives. This is clearly one reason why prayers don't get answered. In James 4:3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you do not ask because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So it's our responsibility to examine ourselves to see if any of these areas are not demonstrated in our lives, so that they can be sorted and do not create barriers in deepening our prayer life. Okay, just before we do a little bit of work on our tables, we'll look at the battleground of prayer. The fact that the evil one wants to make us ineffective. Fee said prayer was simple, just do it. But also posed the question, why do we find it so difficult sometimes? And some of the reasons that we find it difficult are these, in my mind. One is that point I've just made about we're in spiritual warfare. We must remember that if prayer is at the heart of our relationship with God, it's going to be the focus for the evil one to do what he can to make it ineffective. So he might cause us to ignore God, drift from God, cease believing God is listening. He may undermine our faith, so we're not sure if God can do things we pray for. He can get us to forget to speak with God at all. That battle is going on all of the time, and it affects each of us in different ways. But secondly, I think that another reason for the battle is our own weakness. Not all of our ineffectiveness in prayer is as a direct result of satanic attack. It can just be because we are lazy, forgetful, obstinate, disobedient, distracted, or discouraged. God can help us in our weakness, which is great. There is a place for just doing it, as Fee said. The Lord is always open to us restarting the conversation with him. And finally, another reason for the battle, I think, is we need to learn more. Jesus needed to teach his disciples to pray, as we heard this morning about the Lord's Prayer. And in another place, we hear about some demons could only be cast out with certain approaches to prayer. And so we can learn from others ways to pray that are helpful. And we have an opportunity to learn from Merlin Paul Williams at the end of this month when we have the training weekend. What I thought we'd do now, just for a few minutes, is to, on your tables, or if you can group together in larger groups, is just to share of all the different types of prayer that there are, from arrow prayers, prayer triplets, house groups, pop, whatever. Which types of prayer have you found most helpful in your walk with the Lord? So about 4 minutes. Okay. Let's get a bit of feedback before we go on to my final point. So we don't need to have everything, but let's go around the tables and just if there's any common themes that have come out or anything particular somebody wants to share. Did you talk about the question?
What was the question? And we had all different ideas, but I was saying I enjoy sitting reading when there's no time pressure, and you read a passage and listen as well and pray at the same time. Paul was saying how good pop is. Do you want me to do all of them or just leave it?
How about this table? Anything?
No, I don't think we didn't have long enough.
time pressure too much, right? Okay. How about this table?
Don't know what I'm saying. We didn't talk about a particular thing. We just threw it all out there and just said, "There's a time and a place for all types of prayer." You know, when you wake up in the night, you know, the arrow prayers, or you've been prompted to pray for somebody, you know, that's on your mind that night. And as you said, being equipped to pray particular things that are quite heavy that you sometimes don't feel equipped for, which is, you know, all a learning curve.
Anything on this table?
We sometimes find distraction the most difficult thing.
Right. How do you get over that?
Concentrate, my boy, concentrate.
We can equate with the table over there who said they didn't have enough time. But so what I'm going to say, I haven't even said to these other two, but things... Is that all right? They've given me license, Paul. They've given me permission. Things that I definitely find really helpful are the prayer guides that we get from church, that we get particularly from Tear Fund and from care organisation. That informs, it tells us how to pray, it helps us to put things into perspective, to be really thankful and just think that there's some of those little things that we think are important, and then we read something from Tear Fund and find we're praying for people who are ministering to women that have been raped, had their husbands killed in front of them, that sort of thing. That, I find, is really helpful.
I'm not going to give you too much license to take too much time. But it does remind me, those of you that are members at a recent members' meeting, Dave Kingswood asked for topics that, or questions that you had about prayer, and some of those are being covered by what we are doing in this series. But one member mentioned that for older folk who find it difficult to get out, how important having prayer lists can be. And I'll just put in a thank you to Chris Chinnery for doing the church prayer list, because that's an example of that that's really helpful to use.
We felt, we discussed prayer without ceasing, that it was a bit of a continual thing that we should be praying continually. And I find I get distracted if I pray on my own, so I'm better with other people. And Anona feels burdened often for really sort of specific things, don't you? Yes.
Thank you, Paul. Yes, we felt that we need to put ourselves right with God by saying the Lord's Prayer and asking forgiveness. But we also, in the group, we had three people who are in for arrow prayers, which they always work for some reason, which praise God.
Good, thanks very much. That's helpful. Some of the things which I found helpful, arrow prayers is one of the first. And I remember when we had a leadership training day earlier this year, and we were looking at Nehemiah. Nehemiah was in several situations. He was faced with an issue and he chose to pray. And what you mentioned, Claire, about being prompted to pray for people, sometimes it's an obvious prompt, you read something, but I've tried to get into the practice that if I'm just going about my daily work or whatever, and somebody comes to mind who I may not have thought about for years. It may be somebody from way back from the past, or it may be somebody in the fellowship or a neighbour or something. I sort of think, well, why has their name come to mind? And I use that as a means to pray for them, because God may well have brought their name to mind and they may be in need. So that's a practical thing which we can do. Some people find getting together with two or three other people, like in a prayer triplet, or committing themselves to a particular person to share their lives with one another is a helpful thing. And I haven't been in quite that same sort of setup before, but when I used to work at the Cheshire Home in Timsbury, and Ian Macy was also working there, we used to meet every morning to pray about the work that we were doing, and that was really helpful to me. House group, it's great to be able to pray there and to keep a record of answers to prayer as they come through. I've mentioned the church prayer list. Quiet times, it's so valuable to our marriage that we have developed the habit of being in the habit of praying together daily and studying God's word together daily. And I just want to put a plug in to couples in the church who are not practicing that regularly to really consider it, because you are one in the Lord. And yes, we can have our own individual quiet times, and God can bless us in that as well. But I think it's really good if couples can share together like that. And the prayer chain, I think that's important, and I valued prayer training that I've had as well. And obviously, as Christians, we have different callings in terms of our ministries. I won't go into detail here, but some are called to intercessory prayer. Some are into prayer ministry, where they are praying for people with particular difficulties that they're facing, and some focus on encouragement. Okay, finally, when prayer is difficult, what about unanswered prayer? I gave examples earlier of answered prayer in my life, just a couple of examples, but there's been lots of unanswered prayers. There's members of our family who have made commitments in the past and have been drifting, and we've been praying daily for them that they will come back to the Lord, and God hasn't answered that yet. All of us were involved in praying for John Munro and his healing, and it didn't come about as we expected. Praise God, he's leaping and praising God and enjoying the fullness of eternal life with the Lord now. But a mystery, and there's no easy answers to why some prayers get answered as we expected and some don't. It's not easy to understand why there appears to be more miracles in some parts of the world than in others. So how do I deal with this personally, and how do I deal with the disappointment of unanswered prayer? As I think about that, some of it is down to me getting it wrong, and we could refer back to that, this list here, because some of those things might apply sometimes to some of my prayers. Some of it is about God knowing better and doing something better, and he's able to do that. A lot of it is to do with my relationship with God, not the unanswered prayers, but how I deal with it. Like a child with his father, the fact that the child doesn't get everything he asks for doesn't mean his dad doesn't love him, isn't listening, or can't be bothered. And it's because of all I've experienced and know of God, I can trust him and believe that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Practically, when it's difficult to know what God might do in a prayer situation, I pray for the best I feel God has shown me. In other words, praying for a difficult situation, the best that I can understand of that situation is what I pray for. Because if God hasn't shown me anything different, then that's what I feel led to pray for. And sometimes, you see, answers, sometimes he does something different. I must stress again, however, that there are no easy answers to that, and I don't want my answers to sound trite. I'm just sharing how I cope with that and how the fact that prayers sometimes don't seem to be answered don't change my view of how great God is. The summary sentence then, to sort of bring this to a close: a church that prays effectively is made up of individuals like us who nurture a close relationship with God in prayer that transforms our lives and our church and ultimately the community around us. Thank you.